From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
Welcome to Issues in the News. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Joining me on the show this week, Tom DeFrank, contributing editor at National Journal. And here are the issues. President-elect Donald Trump named South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as United Nations Ambassador and Betsy DeVos of Michigan as Education Secretary. Neither had supported his bid for the Republican presidential nomination. Trump said he will quit the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade treaty and pressed an Indiana company to cancel its plan to move its manufacturing facilities to Mexico. And President Obama sought to strengthen the case for the Iran nuclear deal, which Trump has said he will cancel. Well, Tom, what about Donald Trump? Both of these nominations, one Nikki Haley, the other Betsy DeVos, were sort of a surprise to me.
Well, they were a surprise to me as well, Fred. As you pointed out, neither supported President-elect Trump in the campaign or in the primaries. Mm-hmm. But Nikki Haley is an up-and-coming governor of South Carolina, highly regarded. The first Indian-American governor in any state. Betsy DeVos is an establishment figure. She and her husband are from what I would call the Gerald R. Ford wing of the Republican Party, meaning—
Which is different from the Trump wing.
Meaning mainstream Republicans, so-called country club Republicans. But she is a— she is a fan of school vouchers, giving especially parents of underprivileged kids school vouchers to use to go wherever they want to go. That's a policy much opposed by the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. So these were surprising, but you could take both of these as an effort by Trump to reach out, move to the middle in a kind of a non-threatening way to his base. His base is not going to be up in arms about either one of these appointments.
No, I don't think so. But it does show that Trump is widening his the field, widening the field of people that he's seeking for his administration, and of course. He said earlier that he would not try to prosecute Hillary Clinton for any crimes that might have been committed because of her email, her private email. But I don't know. I'm still surprised. Nikki Haley is someone who he had considered for his vice president as vice presidential running mate when he, of course, picked Mike Pence, then the governor of Indiana. But I think I am, anyway, sort of changing my opinion of what Trump is up to, not that he's changing what he believes in, but he's certainly changing the group of people who he surrounds himself with.
Right, and the truest test of just how far he is willing to go in this respect is whether he decides to pick Mitt Romney as Secretary of State over his loyal friend, former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who is in a break from tradition, is actively, publicly auditioning for the job and explaining to the world just how he'd be a fabulous Secretary of State. And normally that's considered very unseemly. You don't talk about it, but he is kind of unabashed and unapologetic about it. And you get the feeling that the Trump is leaning towards Romney, but there are now indications that he's getting more of a blowback from his party base over Romney, who, as we all know, was virulently opposed to Trump.
I don't think he voted for Trump.
I don't think he did either, and called him a con man and a phony and a fraud and a failed businessman. Those, and you know, whatever else we know about Donald Trump, it is that he does not take kindly to criticism. So the fact that he's even considering Romney, and clearly Romney is one of the finalists, I think, probably is significant. We'll just have to see how that sorts out. Like all presidents or presidents-elect, Trump has to figure out how to expand his base from the true believers, many of whom have no government experience and who voted for him because they want him to clean out the stables in Washington, and people who actually know how to make the stables run. I mean, Trump has no foreign policy experience. He has no military experience, no national security experience. So it's more important probably for him than for others than to have to have people around him who really know how the world works and can function in this kind of an environment. So we will know more in a week or two, but so far he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, is it safe to say that Secretary of State is the most important and most prestigious job in the cabinet? I mean, you have your four most important cabinet jobs: Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, which he hasn't picked yet, Treasury Secretary, which he hasn't picked yet, and Attorney General, and he has picked Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama for that job. But Secretary of State is really at the top.
Yeah, I think so. You might argue in a situation where we have troops deployed all over the world, the Secretary of Defense might be the most important, but I think the Secretary of State in this environment is probably at the top of that heap, because the whole world needs reassuring that Donald Trump is not some wild-eyed cowboy. And so I think in this new administration of the 45th president, Secretary of State is going to be even more important. Now, it's often, and historically, a Secretary of State can be rolled by people closer to the president. I remember covering the Nixon administration, and William Rogers, a New York lawyer, longtime Nixon loyalist, was rolled over time and again by the National Security Advisor, Henry Kissinger. And that's not the only time that has happened. Colin Powell was outflanked and often beaten in internal power struggles by Vice President Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. And so this can happen. But I think it's going to be interesting, because Giuliani, who says, yes, I've been to 18 countries and I've been to some of them more than Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State, he is not a foreign policy heavyweight. He's mm-hmm. just not.
Well, is Mitt Romney?
No, I don't think so. But Romney's got a better brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Giuliani is mm-hmm. stupid, far from it. All people who get to this level they're not slouches.
Yep.
But I think Romney has a better grasp. I think Romney has a better sense of a world view mm-hmm. than Giuliani. Mm-hmm. But so this is going to be very, very interesting to see how this sorts out.
Speaking of worldview and Donald Trump's worldview, let's talk about a couple of things. And one is the TPP, the trade treaty. Donald Trump campaigned against it, both in the Republican primaries and then in the general election against Hillary Clinton. And now he has announced publicly that on day one, this is January 20, 2017, he will withdraw the U.S., quit the treaty. And of course, it's been ratified in most of the other countries, the Pacific countries, but not here in the United States. And he will pull out of it. This is not a secret that he was going to do this, but this can have real repercussions.
Well, China is thrilled to hear this, because I think China will be the biggest beneficiary if the U.S. is on the sidelines in this particular trade deal. Now, Trump always talks about, I'm going to get rid of these horrible trade deals that have been disasters, and I'm going to replace them with something that's much better mm-hmm. for the U.S. I think on this one, he'll find that's easier said than done. But every new president has to figure out, I think Trump has already figured out he's going to have to pull back on some of the things he promised.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is, which ones are you going to follow through on immediately, and which ones are you going to just see how things go? I mean, immigration is one of those. Clearly, he's not going to dismantle the whole immigration policy of the
right.
U.S. on day one, but he's clearly signaled the TPP is going to be dismantled, and there's going to be a few other things. So this was one of his red lines, and he is going to stick with it. But I think he's going to find, as I said earlier, that the Chinese are going to be thrilled that mm-hmm. the U.S. is not in this.
And yeah, they're not a part of this treaty, and they didn't like it.
And I think he's also, as you mm-hmm. said, Fred, I think he's going to go hard early on trying to get out of the Iran deal. That's going to mm-hmm. be harder, because we mm-hmm. are only one of five or six signatories mm-hmm. to the Iran deal, and they are not going to, the other five countries are not going to just say, okay, well, the U.S. is out, so we have to get out too. So mm-hmm. that's going to be a little harder to do.
You know, let me get back to that in a minute. We do want to talk about that and what President Obama is doing. The another thing that President-elect Trump is doing, and this is along with what he campaigned on, and that is to convince Carrier Air Conditioning Company in Indiana, which he denounced during the campaign, to not move its manufacturing facilities to Mexico. Now, you know, this one, a president doing this, or even a president-elect, jawboning, as so-called, an American company not to do something, is highly unusual. And this one, I think, sort of pits normal conservative Republicans who are free traders and free market people who think, well, look, if the market calls for a company to do that, to move to Mexico, well, that's fine. On the other hand, Trump has campaigned against that. This is why he's a populist and not a normal Republican.
I suspect what will happen is here they will somehow split the difference. Carrier has also announced plans to close a smaller plant in Indiana, and I'm suspecting that Trump will get half a loaf and Carrier will get half a loaf, and President-elect Trump will proclaim a great victory. But I mean, this is, you're right, this is what he campaigned on. I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop jobs from leaving America, and I think Trump will get something. And Carrier says, we hope to have something to announce soon. So I think we're going to see more Trump jawboning. That's what he likes to do. It's the art of the deal, as he calls it, and he thinks he can do this. I don't think he's going to convince Carrier to cancel the whole deal in its entirety, but he'll get, as I said, half a loaf.
We'll have more in just a minute. First, a reminder that you're listening to Issues in the News, coming to you on the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your moderator, Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Joining me today is Tom DeFrank of National Journal. And this is a reminder that you can listen to Issues online as a podcast. The program is also available for free download on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com. Tom, you know, there's been some disappointment among the hardcore Trump followers about whether he's following through on everything, but certainly on the trade treaty, which the economists call the TTP, the world's most ambitious free trade deal in decades, and now his jawboning with the Carrier Corporation, I think that will satisfy a lot of his supporters who have been unhappy.
Right. I mean, I think Trump has already calculated if he can give his truest, true believers a half a loaf on most of everything, they will be happy. There will always be some grumbling. There will always be people who say, "Let's blow up the government. Let's just turn it on its head. Let's balance the budget. Let's increase the national debt or whatever." But I think Trump has got whatever else he is and isn't, and there's a long list of is's and isn'ts. He's a pretty smart guy, and he's got good political instincts. So I think he's already calculated on a whole variety of issues how far he can diverge from his campaign rhetoric. Some situations he'll junk entirely, but I think so far he's shown that he's pretty nimble and has a good instinct for what he must do and what he can pull back on a little bit in the interest of trying to expand his base.
You know, Hillary Clinton is now, as the final count arrives in the presidential race, ahead of Trump by 2 million votes, most of them from California, where I think she won by something like 2.5 million. And so there's been talk, particularly among Democrats who are unhappy because the president is not elected by the popular vote. He's elected by the electoral vote in each state. We've explained before what it has. There are calls to get rid of the electoral college and just have a popularly voted president. Nationally, how much the person who gets the most votes wins. But what about getting rid of the electoral college?
I think it's really impossible. Very difficult, if not impossible, Fred. First of all, you would have to have a new constitutional amendment to abolish the Electoral College, since the Electoral College is in the Constitution. And you would have to have an amendment pass both houses of Congress by a two-thirds vote. And even that's not enough. It then would have to be ratified by 3/4 of the state legislatures, which mm-hmm. I think is 38 out of 50, something
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
insurmountable. I think
it is all but insurmountable. Yeah. That's exactly right. And when mm-hmm. if you think about the last two times this has happened in 2000, and now in 2016, mm-hmm. where somebody won the popular vote but did not become president, the beneficiaries in both cases mm-hmm. were Republicans. So I'm not sure I see. Enough Republican support for this. I mean, mm-hmm. you're right. The real reason that Hillary Clinton is ahead is basically on the strength of a huge plurality in California, mm-hmm. Heavily Democratic. And so I don't think you're going to have Republicans joining Democrats to do this. I think it's impossible.
Well, let's turn to a couple of things that President Obama's doing. Clearly, he wants to protect his legacy. And one of the big parts of it is Obamacare, the health care plan, which we'll see what happens with it. Republicans say they're going to repeal it, and Obama says, Trump says the same thing. But then there's the Iran nuclear deal, which Trump hasn't, I don't believe he said anything during this transition about it, but clearly President Obama is worried that he may pull out of it and has tried to build up the support for it among the other signatories. The U.S. and Iran are not the only signatories. They're European countries, for instance. And, well, what about that?
Well, I think he will do something. I think he will distance himself to a degree from the treaty. But as you noted,
are we referring to Trump?
Trump. He... Mm-hmm. President-elect Trump. I think he will distance himself to some degree, but he can't just abrogate the deal, even if he were to pull the United States out entirely.
So I think it was Senator Ted Cruz who was running against Trump for the Republican nomination. I think he said he would tear up the treaty on day one.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think President-elect Trump can do a few things. I suspect he will impose some tougher unilateral sanctions, especially in mm-hmm. the banking and financial industry, making it harder for Iranian businesses to do business in mm-hmm. this country. There are things he can do, but he just cannot tear it up on national TV or wave a magic wand and have it go away. And so I think the other parties to the Iran deal are not going to bail out just because mm-hmm. President Trump, a new president, doesn't like it. But he's clearly going to flex his muscles on this in some fashion.
Would he be risking the Iranians pulling out of the deal by building up sanctions against Iran that wouldn't be based on the nuclear deal? They'd be based on Iran's sponsorship of terrorism and other things.
Right. Yeah. This is a risky move for him. Just like Obamacare, the Iranian deal is pretty unpopular in this country, but I think there is a fairly reasonably compelling case to make that it has kept Iran from getting nuclear weapons mm-hmm. sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So we will just see how that sorts out. I mean, I said more than once during the campaign that candidate Trump didn't seem to know what he didn't know. Mm-hmm. Now he has no choice. He mm-hmm. is learning things that he didn't know. And I'm sure mm-hmm. it's a very humbling and sober experience to mm-hmm. learn lots of things about mm-hmm. North Korea's nuclear capability. I think they're closer to getting a bomb, mm-hmm. a deliverable bomb, than mm-hmm. Iran is. And all sorts of things on the terror front. And so I think Trump has already figured out he can't just act on everything he said he was mm-hmm. going to do. And so now that he's learning stuff that he didn't know mm-hmm. and has become sobered, mm-hmm. as any new president would by that, I think he's going to have to see. I think he wants to do something in mm-hmm. all these areas to help help look like he's redeeming campaign promises without upsetting
mm-hmm.
totally upsetting the whole global mm-hmm. global fabric
yeah.
here, diplomatic fabric.
In a small way, he upset the British by suggesting that he would like the man in England who led the effort to pull out of the European Union.
Nigel Farage.
And Nigel Farage, he would like him to be the British ambassador to Washington, and the British were a little irritated by that.
Well, the foreign ministry quickly put out a statement saying, "We already have an ambassador, and he's doing a fine job." I mean, that was a small thing, but it was unnecessary. That's what I would call a rookie mistake. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, you do that in a private meeting with mm-hmm. Catherine May, the foreign minister, but mm-hmm. you probably shouldn't even do it then because. Mm-hmm. Great Britain is a sovereign country. They're going to decide who their diplomatic representatives are around the world. That's the kind of thing that causes diplomats and other foreign governments to just scratch their head and say, "What has the U.S. done here?" Mm-hmm. That did not show a sophisticated view of how diplomacy works.
I think he wanted to just say something nice about Mr. Lafarge, who actually appeared at least one campaign rally for the president for Trump.
Right. No, they're good friends, and Trump thinks that they're soulmates, given the whole Brexit things. But you know, you've got to be very careful to avoid doing something that appears that you're meddling in somebody else's not so much foreign policy, but as personnel policy. I mean, you know, can you imagine what would happen if he said, "My old friend from China, who I did two hotel deals with, he'd be a perfect ambassador." The Chinese would go nuts. The British were being polite, but I'm sure they're no less pleased with this than the Chinese or anybody else would be.
You know, President Obama has been, who was very critical, very strongly critical of Trump during the campaign. Now that Trump was elected, has been pretty measured in what he's talked about. And what do you think are President Obama's chances of really protecting his legacy? We've talked about the Iran deal. The health care plan will be the Obamacare, the so-called Affordable Care Act, will be hard to protect. But someone you have covered very well and for a long time, and that's the new Democratic minority leader, Chuck Schumer, has pledged to keep it. What about that?
Well, Schumer has been very strong. As a matter of fact, in one recent interview, he said, "Obamacare is not going to be rolled back. Forget about it. They don't have the votes to do this." And Schumer also said, and it's true, that President Trump has said, "I like a couple of the parts of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. I just want to fix the bad parts."
But that's most of it. I mean,
Schumer says you can't keep. You can't do that, because if you keep the good parts and get rid of other things, the whole, you know, the funding falls apart. So I think Trump will try to do something on Obamacare, and he will get some support from the Democrats on fine-tuning a few parts of it. I think Obamacare will somehow survive in a fairly identifiable fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one. I mean, at this point, you can't revert to the old situation where an insurance company could say, "Well, you've got this horrible disease, so we can't insure you." Pre-existing conditions. That's one of the most popular changes to Obamacare, and that can't be rolled back at this
point. Most Republicans are for that change.
Right. Exactly. So. Right. So. Mm-hmm. This I think would be another one of these half a loaf sorts of situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally, let's just very quickly, we have about 30 seconds left, assess the transition so far. Donald Trump was elected on November 8th, and now a few weeks later. I think at the very least, I think you can say the transition has shown that Donald Trump is a little different from what we thought, and it's been better than expected.
I think it is better than expected. Some people say, well, his appointments are slow. That's not true. Many administrations have been slower at getting cabinet appointees named than this. I think he's been somewhat reassuring to some of his critics. I agree with you, Fred.
Well, that's all the time we have. Joining us today were Tom DeFrank, contributing editor at National Journal. This program was produced by Anya Zalewski. Our engineers were Justin Thwaites and Linus Rimkus. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Thank you for listening.